Y'all would, let's go to 1 Corinthians 16. I'm going to start there. I really appreciated the elders and their messages that we had that when we were going through our Pesach season. And what we're doing is what I want to do is just really pick up. If you're new here and you've not gone through the seasons with us, Yahweh's appointed times and seasons are of the utmost importance. Amen. We've learned that. I've been through them. And as I've gone through them, I've seen him work miracles in people's lives. I've seen a lot of great things has happened. And I've seen how he would do it through certain feasts and festivals and times. And we are in the time of the counting of the Omer, which is really a counting that he tells us in Leviticus 23. I'm not going to read the scripture. You can go through there because we've read it many times before. But he does tell us to count after the Sabbath. And for us, it's after the first day of unleavened bread. We start counting. And, you know, we say, and we did it earlier, and we would say, this is day one. And you'd say, and you could say, oh, woo. You could say, all right, now here's day two. Oh, woo. It's like what Steve ministered on that last day. It is important that when you count, you meditate and you realize where we're at. Where are you in your spiritual walk? This is what this is too, is to remind us, because we are here to retell the story, and that's what we do. But it's not just about what happened to the people back there in the time of Israel. We're part of that story. We're just generations down the road. Because guess what? We have our story. And we have our Passover. We have times when we have to get saved, when we have to ask Yeshua to become our lamb, not just a lamb. He's got to be our lamb. He is the lamb, but we got to make him personal. Unleavened bread, we get the leaven out of our lives, 7 days. But really, what is seven? It means completion. In other words, we get the sin out and we what? We keep it out. We don't just get it out and then all of a sudden after 7 days we go back to sinning. That's not what it's about. But also, it is a journey going all the way to Shavuot, Pentecost, and that's what we're on this journey to do, is we're following the Israelites, and what are they doing? They're murmuring and complaining. They're not trusting. And so, from Nisan 1, and that's really where it starts. It doesn't start at Passover. It starts on Nisan 1 when he said, this is the first month of you because this is the beginning of a new year to you. We're on his timetable. See, I always wondered whenever I was growing up in the church, why did they always have revivals in the fall and in the spring? But here's the two major festivals where we went. They're in the fall and the spring, or the spring and the fall. And it's something within us, because we're part of this, we just didn't know. And so there was something in us, and we just thought it was a good idea to do, so that's when we would have revivals. But these are his times and seasons, and he was sort of like letting us in on it a little bit. But now, as he's pouring out his laws and commandments to us, we had the testimony of Yeshua. We had that. And we had the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We had that. But all we had was that many pages of the scripture. We had that much we didn't know about. Prophecy and the Torah itself. And without knowing the Torah, that's how we're to live. That's how we're to get along with one another. And so he's restoring all of that. So this is a journey. And I put down here, I didn't put it up here, but I got a journey from slavery to freedom to relationship. See, we're not being delivered just to be delivered from something. We're being delivered to something. We're being delivered from slavery. The children of Israel, they were being delivered from Egypt into a land that he was going to provide for them, but ultimately where he's going to be their Elohim, he's going to be their king, and they're going to be his people. He was delivering from slavery into a relationship. And that's what we have to know, is we are part of that relationship. I think that we say that and we think we know that, but a lot of times if we really, really knew it, we wouldn't be as fearful and afraid of things when things come our way. So that's what this story is about, and that's what this message is going to be. So in 1 Corinthians 16, 13, and 14, it says this: be watchful, be alert, be on guard, stand firm in the faith. Act like men and be strong. We're going to see something as we go through these scriptures. Yahweh's going to tell us over and over and over, be strong and be courageous. Now, for as many times as he tells us to be strong and be courageous, evidently, we would think that, okay, I heard you the first time. But yet, you know what? are we really strong and courageous? And we see in this journey, when we've read this, read the Torah many times before, the children of Israel, when they came out, they went through. I mean, think about it. He parts a Red Sea. He's got them hemmed up. He's got a pillar of fire in between them and the Egyptians. He delivers them through the Red Sea, delivers them from death through the Red Sea. I'd love to see that, as awesome as that is. But then you go 3 days' journey, and you're thirsty, and you're complaining about being thirsty. And the water is what? It's bitter there. But he's doing that, and you know what? He does that to our lives so that we will trust in him. He knew the water was bitter, but what did they do? They complained and they murmured rather than saying, if he can split a Red Sea, I'm sure there's another pond here somewhere. I'm sure something's here. I'm sure there's a rock, or I'm sure there's something around here that's going to help me get something to drink. And then it comes, and Steve really done a great job of bringing this out. What did he do? He went and he grabbed a branch. He went and grabbed a branch, and he threw it into the water, and the water became what? Sweet. And that branch, what did Yeshua die on? That branch. He died on that tree. So when we look upon that tree, when we look upon him, he makes our life from bitter to what? To sweet. There's so many parallels from the Torah that meets all the way down to what was going to happen with Yeshua. And that was a great, great point. So I'm seeing here, and he was saying, be strong, act like men, be strong. And then he says this, he says, let all that you do be done in what? Love. Guys, on this journey, if you want to, let's go backwards. I didn't write it on the board, chapter 13, verse 4 through 8. It hit me in there, and I was reading this, and let all that you do be done in love. Because we started out from Sukkot. We started out about love is covenant loyalty. That's really what it is. It's loving your neighbor. It's loving him. And I thought about something that on this journey, guys, we got to love one another. Do we not? We got to love one another. Because we are a family. Do families argue every now and then? Absolutely. Do we get crossed every now and then? Yes, we do. But we got to learn, at the end of the day, we've got to learn to love one another. And that's what he's saying. And now, Paul is writing this, and he didn't write it in chapters and verses, but we're in 16. Now we're going to back up, because he already covered this love situation. And so, 4 says this. It says, love is patient, and it's kind. You guys know this scripture. Love does not envy or boast. Now, I'm going to go back. As we read this, I want you to picture yourself. I want you to picture yourself that you're not in an air-conditioned building and everything's comfortable. Okay? It's raining outside and it's dry in here. When they're in the wilderness, they didn't have umbrellas. You know what I'm saying? They depended on him as a cloud to keep them. They didn't have sunscreen. You know what I'm saying? They didn't have big old straw hats. They depended upon that cloud to keep them from burning up. And in a desert, whenever the sun goes down, it gets a little what? Cold. It's not cool. It gets cold. And he had fire. And that fire that he covered them brought them. You know what? They was in the right temperature in this journey. So he did his part. And he's done his part. He sent Yeshua, and he's given us the Holy Spirit. He's done his part. Now, we got to do our part to know that we've got to walk this out. And when we walk this out, we can't be murmuring and complaining about everything along the way. Are they going to be hard times? Absolutely. But the hard times that we come into is preparing us for the ultimate exodus. Amen? Because that's what we're preparing for. We're in training for reigning. That's what this is about. You're in training for reigning. And you know what? He knows all of us. He knows me. He knows me better than I know me. Amen. I'm going to tell you. I think I'm awesome and all of the above. Okay? What y'all laughing about? I'm just saying. So, but with that, he realizes there's some problem with the awesomeness. Okay? And he's going to fix that to where in him I will be one day. But right now, I'm not there. And so what he will do, and he knows what he needs to create in my life that's going to make me who I need to be. And guess what? That's in his image, not in my own image. I think what happens is when you see the story, they came out of Egypt as a mixed multitude. It was not only Israel that came out. There was a mixed multitude. The nations come out with them. It's a picture to show what is happening when Yeshua was to come. And it says, whosoever. If you read John 10, it talks about, I'm the way, I'm, you know, the truth and the life, and the, you know, my sheep hear my voice. But it also says this. It says that there are sheep that are not of this fold, them also. Guess what? We are that sheep. If you're not his chosen people right there, it wasn't just that sheep. It was other sheep that's going to be grafted in and that's got to come into this fold. He's made a provision for all of mankind because we are all his children. Amen? And that's what it's about. But guess what? He's got a job taking a lot of sheep and keeping us going in the same direction without us turning into wolves and goats and kicking and mules and all the other thing. Amen? And that's what he's got a job to do that. The covenant was made with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Israel. Okay? So when the nations, that covenant wasn't made with these nations that were being grafted in and came out with them, but that they saw the wonders that Yahweh did during the time of Egypt. That is a picture of knowing. So they're coming out, but guess what they're coming out with? They're coming out with their gods. They're coming out with the way they see things. The children of Israel being in Egypt all of these years, they were worshiping the gods of the Egyptians. They had learned their way. So the father had to do what? He had to get that out of their system. That's what this journey's about. He's still getting the gods of this world out of our system. Guys, with the internet, the gods of this world has flooded our lives. Because I'm telling you, I sit there the other day, and we were at the Kathy at the hospital. Most everybody in the room's got a cell phone. Most everybody in the room's got their head in a cell phone. No matter where I went in there, I was watching, and everybody's busy watching, reading, whatever. So what I'm saying is we got to really focus during these times of the counting of the Omer. We really need to focus. The Father wants to do something for me and you. He wants us to grow us. He wants to mature us. But the only way he can do that is he's got to get our attention. He's laid it out, but we got to consciously do our part. And that's the hard thing because, see, we're here on Shabbat. We'll have a good time. High five. We're going to eat. Children's going to play. But it cannot be going through the motions. That's not what this is about. This is about developing relationships so that when times do get hard, I'm telling you, when all Hades breaks loose, you got to be able to trust your neighbor. You got to be able to, because we're going to read something here. Let's go through this right here. Love is patient and kind. Can we be that way? Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. Are we arrogant or rude? If we're arrogant or rude, that covenant loyalty is not there. That relationship, that love's not there. It does not exist on its own. It is not irritable or resentful. Are we that way? If we're that way, we need to take inventory. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices in truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Now listen to what it says. Love never ends. But guess what's going to end? As for prophecy, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will pass away. Do we have tongues and interpretation today? Absolutely. But one day that's going to pass away. And it says in what? And as for what? Knowledge. What's going to happen to it? It will also cease. It will also pass away. So I just wanted you to see that I remembered I was raised Baptist, and Tammy was going to the Assembly of God, Church of God, Assembly of God, and whatever of God's she went through. And so anyway, that's their journey. And so I come from just Baptist. And I thought there was only one God. I didn't know there was all the other gods, okay? So anyway, but as I'm going through there, but look, I'm telling you, and I've told you this story before, when we pray in the Baptist church, you can hear a pin drop except one person. In the Pentecostal church, everybody's praying at the same time loudly. And when they were going, I was like, how in the world, and I've told you this, how in the world can Yahweh understand what everybody's saying? Because everybody's talking at the same time. But see, I was raised a certain way, and I was locked into that. And I'm saying, but then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit, I was filled and baptized in the Holy Spirit. My whole life changed. And I remember we were at church. We were at a youth group deal. And I don't know how we was a youth group. I wasn't a youth, but we were there anyway. But I know when the Holy Spirit filled me with the Spirit, I did not want to stop praying in the Spirit. I was going down the road, all over the road, because I was afraid if I stopped, he'd go away. Because it took me, I was afraid it was going to quit. And then there was like, because you know what? I was trying, in my mind, I was trying to figure out what was going on, because that was the way I was raised. We were raised from a knowledge standpoint, not a faith standpoint. Pretty much. But then I realized that the prophecies and all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that was exciting to me. But at the same time, look what it says here. Love, it's all about relationship. He gives us the Holy Spirit for us to develop proper relationships. When someone's sick, we need the gifts of healing and miracles operating in us. Not me up here. He's given these gifts to you and me. He's given these gifts to his people. It doesn't have to be up here. Anybody, when somebody is sick, now, can you call for the elders? Absolutely. That's biblical. And that's a pattern, and that's what you do. And like Leah said, she said, and I don't know, but if there's anything I need to be forgiven for, let it be done and gone. I said, amen. That's what you do. He says, you can pray, they'll be healed, and all their sins will be forgiven. But that's what the Father, he's given all of us. So you have to understand, he's given you these same gifts to be able to pray. And I know that sometimes we like, I'm not as holy as this one. Guys, he's given you these gifts. He's given us, and he wants us to practice. He wants us to practice on one another. That's why, Doc, they call it what? Practicing medicine. That's what we need. We need to be practicing the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We need to be praying, and when somebody... Now, I'm not saying this, though, because there was misuses of that to where people, it became a ministry. Or it became, if y'all not heard this one, he's given me the gift of. I'm saying, okay, so the other eight don't apply to you. Well, no, I just operate better in this gift. Well, here's what happened is everybody wants the gift of the shiny. You know what I'm saying? I want the gift of the importance. I want the gift of what makes me look. I want the gift of what people... No, he gives us all gifts. And what is the best gift? The one you need at that moment. That's what you need, the one that you need at that moment. If it's healing, let it be healing. If it's a miracle, I need a miracle. Because guess what? If I'm dead, I don't need the gift of looking at me. You know, I don't need the gift of healing. If I'm dead, what I need? I need a miracle. I need a resurrection. I need a miracle to happen in my life. And some people are at a place where they need miracles in their life. But you know what? Sometimes you don't have enough faith to believe what you need to believe. And there's a gift of what? There's a gift of faith. Why is there a gift of faith? There's a gift of faith. It's like supercharged. It's like a little NOS in a race car. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we need that gift of faith, we need something to help us, because sometimes, you know, there's a song, it's called Even If. You know, we sing it here. You know, every night he gets up there, but just at this moment, I don't have it in me. I don't have it in me to do what I need to do. Sometimes when you're going through a battle, you don't feel like you have it in you. That's what that gift's for. That gift is for us to pray and say, you know what, I don't have it in me, but if you don't ask or don't pray, it ain't coming. But he wants us to get out and pray, because then at that moment, and I've been there before. I've been there to where when we would have to pray, and I can feel it when it happened. I can't explain it, but I can feel it when it happens. And not only that, there's a charge, there's something that happens in the individual's life that you're praying for, or that it's phenomenal. But guess what? We get to a place because it's the gifts of the Spirit is not a drug. It's not a drug. It is not something to where you're going to try to stay on a high all the time. The thing about it is, it's given to us to be able to operate in this earth because these are the gifts that He's given us until He returns, so that we can love one another, that we can manage. Because I'm telling you, He gives us these gifts because sometimes I need you to pray for me. Sometimes I pray for you. But I need your prayers. And I know a lot of you people, you pray for me every day, and please don't stop. That's what it's all about. Is, do I have your back? Or do you have my back? That's what this is about. It's just paramount. That's what love really is, because guess what? Love never ends. All right, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Now, in this message, I don't know how far we're going to get, so we're counting the Omer, so it doesn't matter. As long as we get there before Shavuot. So while you're going to Deuteronomy 11, verse 8, like I said, He said, be watchful, stand firm, act like men. He told us to be strong. All right, in verse 8 it says this. Now, naturally, Deuteronomy is now Moses is going through and he's preparing through this whole chapter, through this whole book, getting to go, ready to go in the promised land. He says this, you shall therefore keep the whole commandment. Now, I'm going to stop right there. What is the whole commandment? It's the Torah. Because the prophets are not even written here. Amen? David's not alive here, so you don't even have Psalms, you don't have Proverbs. He says, therefore, keep the whole commandment that I command you today. That what? That you may be strong. His word makes us strong. Remember what we say here? Faith. It's impossible to please Him without faith. Can we all say amen? Amen. Faith gets you in the house, but what keeps you in the house? Obedience. Following the whole command. See, that's what makes me and you strong. His word is what makes us strong. It's nothing within me that makes me strong. It's His word that He gives us that makes us strong. His word, and His word is where the healing's at. His word is what makes us strong. So He tells us that we shall keep the whole command that He commanded us today, that you may be strong. Our strength comes from that. That you can go in and take possession of the land that you're going over to possess. That is our whole strength. Listen to this, verse 9. That you may live long in the land that Yahweh swore to your fathers to give them and to their offspring. They're reaping something that was a promise to Abraham and all of his offspring. A land flowing with milk and honey. What that means is that there's a land flowing with blessings if you'll do right. If you'll walk out and keep the whole command, there's blessings for you if you'll do it. If not, the land will dry up. Listen to this. For the land that you are entering to take possession of is what? Is not like the land of Egypt. Okay? It's not like the... So what was the deal with the land of Egypt? It says, which you have come, where you sowed your seed and irrigated it, like a garden of vegetables. In other words, you're coming from a land where the Nile River overflowed, and it brought everything. It's like the Delta up here in Mississippi. You can throw anything out there and it'll grow. You probably throw a Volkswagen out there and it'll grow a Cadillac. I don't know. It's just land's fertile up there. Land here in George County, if you're going to grow something, you got to pour a lot of stuff, something into it. Okay? So He's telling them, you come out of Egypt, you had a fertile crescent. You come out of there, it was irrigated, and where I'm taking you is not like that. Verse 10. But the land that you're going over to possess is a land of hills and valleys. In other words, our lives are full of hills and valleys, isn't it? And it says this, which drinks water by the rain from heaven. In other words, He's saying, you're going to have to rely on me by faith. If you will do the whole commandment, you're going to a place of hill and valleys. And if you'll believe me and if you'll walk out my ways, I'll bring rain in due season. And when I bring rain in due season, I'll grow a grape on top of a rock. Because if you've ever been to Israel, that's what it's like. You have to move rocks when we were in Israel, I heard this awful clanging, Doug, going on. Cling, 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 cling. And I said, what in the world is that? There was a farmer over there. They don't have discs. They got rock movers. They got something or plow. What he was doing, he was trying to tear up the ground, but there's rocks everywhere. He's having to move the rock. I'm like, is he just going to move the rock from one location to the next? He's turning rocks, but that's really what they're doing. But man, the vineyards, when they go in there and they tie up those grapes, and the vineyards are beautiful when they're full of the grapes. They're hanging. And I'm like, how in the world? But that's a promise. That's a promise if you'll do right, prosperity and blessings come. Because I can promise you, that's right. Now, I'm not a farmer, and I'm not a plantologist, if that's proper. I don't know how all that stuff. But I would know by just walking up, and if I saw, I think with my natural eye, I know what's fertile and what's not. And I promise you, when I went to Israel, I said, you couldn't grow anything out of this. There's just no way. But life, when water touches it, life is blooming. It's in a desert. It blooms in the desert. When water hits it, it comes alive. It is amazing to me how that happens. When water hits it, it comes alive. Because you can look across the over to the Jordan, and it's just as dead looking as can be in certain areas there. And I don't know, but just it's just amazing how it can be so green and everything growing, Scott. You know what I mean? Scott had that GoPro. Man, we was watching. It's just amazing. But I think that that's prophecy being fulfilled and a promise being fulfilled. But that's what he told them. Then he says this. He said, verse 12, a land that Yahweh is your Elohim cares for. Listen to what he's saying. A land that Yahweh cares for. Do you know that he still cares for that land today? He doesn't just care for it and then just forget it. He still cares for that land. It's special to him. It's still special to him. Said a land that he cares for. The eyes of Yahweh your Elohim is always upon it. From when? From the beginning of the year to when? To the end of the year. In other words, he is there. He is proactive in our life. This is why he said from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. This is important here in this word. So guess what? Between our ears is a land. This mind has to be renewed. There's a lot of weeds and there's a lot of bad stuff that's been growing in here, and that has to be tilled, and it has to be yanked out of there, and it has to be burned. And we have to replace it with good seed. Renewing of your mind. You got to replace it with the good seed of this word, because did he not say, if you'll keep the whole commandment, you will be prosperous, you will be blessed? That's the thing. You put this in there and blessings will flow. Your heart's been regenerated. If you've got Yeshua in your heart's been regenerated. But Paul said that we have to renew our mind and be transformed by that renewing. And if that's the battlefield that's going on right now. But he's telling us, that's why I'm saying from the beginning to the end of the year, we're at the beginning of the year. What we're planting right now, see, what was planted already is already grown. We've already harvested that. But now there's something being planted during the winter season, which is wheat, that's going to be harvested at Sukkot. What you plant now is going to come to fruit later, whether good or whether bad. And this is where it took me a long time. The Father showed me this a long time ago because it takes me a long time to learn something. Some people are just harder headed than others. Because we live in a society of Tulsa burger. We live in a society where we're impatient. We live in a society when we don't even like a long line at McDonald's. In other words, we want to be there. It's like, why is everybody else there? Why can't I be there? I got in my car early this morning to be there. In other words, we are, it says love is patient and kind, but we've grown into a society that we want it right now. We want to pre-order. We want everything pre-this, pre-that, and this is just our life. It is. Amazon Prime. So here's, they're going to have drones before long dropping stuff off at your house. I know they do it now. They don't do it in the country because we think they're birds. We shoot them. But until they learn that it's not birds or something like that, that it's not an invasion of the government or something, you know, we think they better not have no black one coming. They think the black helicopter, we shoot that dude. They said McDonald's. And McDonald's going to do drop a burger? No, I tell you. That's going to be a bad deal. We'll have drop a burger. Drop a Big Mac. Just don't drop it. Drop it on my buggy. But think about this now. So here's the thing. And this is what sometimes life would go good. And then all of a sudden, all turmoil break loose in your life. And you say, what in the world? Because you know what you're trying to do? And this is what I did. I said, what did I do yesterday to cause this? I didn't do nothing yesterday to cause this. Well, what did I do last week to cause this? I didn't do nothing last week to cause this. And then I learned about the sowing and the reaping, that you sow is seed time and harvest. It's seed time and harvest. Then I realized, you know what? If you sow something, I'm just saying, guys, just try this. Just try this. If you're reaping something today that you don't like, then you sit back and say, well, if I planted something, how long would it take to grow? And you can ask the farmers here. They'll tell you, you know, it takes a few weeks or a month or whatever. Look at wheat. Wheat gets put in the ground in, what, December? Something like that. And it comes out. Okay, Steve, I see you bobbing your head back there. When does wheat go in the ground? December-ish? November, December, because y'all put some wheat down. It ain't up. I mean, it's coming up, but it's not ripe yet, right? And see, whenever something good is in our life, a blessing is when it's mature, it's ripe, it's ready to harvest. But a bad blessing is what? Is whenever it's ready to bear fruit. See, it can grow. What did he say about the wheat and the tares? He said, let them grow together. And we had a slideshow one time. A wheat and a tare, they look just alike. But what happens is when a wheat is mature, because it's got fruit, it's heavy and it falls. But because the tare has no substance, it's prideful. It just stands up there and looks like a wheat. Look at me. And then all of a sudden, you're going to cut it down. But Yahweh said he's going to do what to the wheat and tares? He's going to separate. And he's going to bundle up the tares and he's going to burn it. But this is what happens. We are wheat and tares. What is growing? Do you have wheat in your life? Or do we have tares in our life? And the thing about it is we got both. We shouldn't have both, but sometimes we do, because what did we do? We ended up with a mixture. We ended up sowing something in our life. We ended up doing something, and you know what? Nobody knew about it. You know, it was just me and God's secret. And then all of a sudden, when all things happen in your life, then all of a sudden you say, go back. It's a good indicator, because sometimes we do things and we forget what we do. We forget if we sow bad seed. And unrepentant sin is not forgiven sin. Because we will answer for that one day. So the beautiful thing about this, what Yahweh has done for us, is what? If there's revelation of something that we've done, what does the Torah say? Whenever you sin unintentionally and you realize it, what do you have to do? You have to bring a sacrifice. You got to repent. See, he doesn't just say, well, you didn't know, that's okay. I'm glad you know now, just don't do it no more. But he didn't say that, because the Torah said that you bring a sacrifice and you deal with it. So what do we have to do? We have to do the same thing, because we don't want that baggage. You have to be set free of that, because you don't want that tear in your life. You don't want anything. When you say, like, you want to dig up the roots of stuff, you want to get all the roots out. You want to make sure that none of that fruit is there. So all I'm saying here is this. This is a time and a season when we're going through the counting of the Omer. This is a time and season. We come through Passover. We come through Unleavened Bread. And we're headed to Shavuot. We're headed to the giving of the Torah. We're heading to the giving of the Holy Spirit. I know we've had that. But still, he uses these times and seasons because we're not all perfect yet. Amen? I mean, I don't have a halo yet. And until I have a halo, I'm going to go through this process until we get that body that's going to take corruptible and it's going to be have on incorruptible. And that's what we're waiting for, and that's what we're wanting to do and wanting to happen in our life. But that's what this is. And I just wanted to, from the beginning of the year to the end of the year, I just wanted you guys to know, how much do we trust Him? Do we trust Him 25%? Do we trust Him 50%, 75%, 99%? But even 99% is not good enough, because He wants 100% trust. Because what did He say? He brought them to a land, not like Egypt, where everything was easy and everything, the Nile overflowed and it irrigated and you could throw a watermelon seed out there and grow a bunch of watermelons. It's not like that. You're in hills and valleys and you're in rocks. And do you know what? You're dependent upon Me because I'm going to have to bring the rain. You're dependent upon Me because I'm going to have to bring it up out of the ground. That's what faith and trust is. And that the journey that He was bringing them through, because guess what, guys? They didn't get it when they went through the counting of the Omer. They didn't get it then, because what happened? When they sent the 10 spies in, or the 12 spies in, I'm sorry, 10 of them came back with a negative report. He told them, when you go into the land, this is what you're going to see. You're going to see it's going to be fruits and vegetables and fruit. It's going to be great. But they are mighty people that live there. There's fortresses there. There's armies there. But do you know what? You don't worry about it. You be courageous and strong. You don't worry about it. You trust Me, and we're going to go in there, and I'm going to lead you in there, and we're going to do a good job. But the 10 went in there and came back and said exactly what Yahweh told them. But He said, but one thing that changed. But He can't take care of this. When they said we couldn't go in here and take care of this because they were fearful and afraid, they were saying, you know what? Out of all the things, He may have got us out of Egypt, but He can't finish the job. And that's what this journey is about. Look, guys, He got us started in this, and I can promise you Yahweh can finish it. He don't have a problem. We got the problem. It's some of the things, what are we doing in this journey? It's about learning through the journey that we need to learn to trust Him and have faith in Him that He can finish this job. We're not in the world to come yet. Death is an enemy. I can say that because Scripture says that. Death's an enemy. But each individual here, if you died, are you certain? 100, as Tammy says, 1,000%. No, are you certain 100% what's going to be your reality? That you're going to be with Him? Because see, there's still something there. I know it is with me. I believe in Him, and I believe, and I'm just telling you I do. But I ain't anxious to die. You see what I'm saying? Because there's an uncertainty there. Because I can tell you this, reading this book and knowing what eternity is, I'm ready. I'm ready. You know what I'm saying? But why ain't I just trying to do something about it? Because death is an enemy. And it is for us. He's put it in us to live. That's why when we get sick, we want to live. When we go through, we want to live. Because why? Because He's a living Elohim. He's not an Elohim of the dead. And it's in us. Even though we're ready for eternity, we're ready for no more aches, no more arthritis, no more itises, no more pain, no more whatever. And I know all the young people, they're out here saying, Father, please tarry because I ain't got married yet. You know what I'm saying? So I understand that. But all I'm saying is this is a journey. And in our journey, how much do we, and this is what this message is today, and I'm closing here. How much do we really trust Him? Do we trust Him? And that's important. That is really important. And I know we can sit back here and every one of us want to say, I trust Him 100%. But if you trusted Him 100%, you'd never say nothing negative. You trusted Him 100%, you'd never have a bad thing to say. But if you're saying but this or but that, then it ain't 100%. Because he's got this. Yahweh has been telling this. He's got this. This is what he's been teaching us and training. He's got this. Us in this community, he's got us. He's got us, guys. But in the what we, Paul wrote that about loving one another and love is patient. Love. He wrote that for a reason. He wrote that because we're people. And he wrote that because we usually look out for our own interests first. But he's telling us, we went through the servant and the stewardship. We got to learn to look out for other people's interests first. But sometimes it's easier to look after certain people's interests first than others, because you look at some people and you say, well, these people don't care. Well, that's not in there, that they don't care. But the thing about it is why do they not care? See, we don't know. We've never lived that life where they're at. You don't know the hurts and the struggles that certain people go through. There are people like, we may be a little bit further along. I really appreciated Rachel's testimony about Brian. Have a son. But she'll tell you that she'll know people that don't have that son. And there's people that's alone. And there's fear. I saw it in my mom. You know, you get to a certain place in life when you start losing your mind. And she couldn't, I mean, she would sit here and she'd say, you know, I told Richard, I said, that TV was $5. I said, no, Mom, that TV's $500. She said, no, it's $5. You think you know everything. I don't know how many times I heard that when I was going through this. I wouldn't change it for nothing in the world. But it was frustrating. But the thing is, how much more frustrating was it for her? Because she knew. She'd say, go to Walmart. You know, she had a purse. She didn't have a wallet. She'd say, here. And the reason, you know why she's saying here? Because she didn't know how to get the right money out to give the lady. The lady'd say $43. And, you know, she'd pull out a dollar or two, and I'd say, here, let me help you. And I had to do that in a way to where I did not dishonor my mom, because she was already going through enough pain. It's a fear. It's a fear that people have. And it's so important for a community of people and children that we can watch and look after one another, that we don't sit here and say, just kick them to the side because they get old, or kick somebody to the side because they're not just like us. You know what I'm saying? Because guys, and kick somebody to the side because they made mistakes 100 times and you're worried about them going to make it 101. Maybe they won't make it 101. Maybe they're done. Maybe we have to fight for one another in this. Amen to that. That's a witness. That's a good one. So all I'm saying here is this, is that we're all in this journey. And we're all at different places of knowledge. We're all at different places of spirituality. And that's the way it is. And some of us are just hard-headed. Some of us, you know, we want what we want. And we go, but the Father is trying to teach us. But do you know what? We need to be able to earn respect. I need to be able to have my life and live my life in a place to where you can trust me and that you respect me. And if I don't, I need to know that, and I need to make it right. Because I need you to trust me. But I need to trust you. And that's what this is about. But I'm going to tell you, it's not easy when you've been hurt. I understand that. When you've been hurt and you've been scarred, and when people's kicked you to the side, I understand about not letting your guard down. But guys, we got to learn to do it. We just got to learn to do it. Even if your shade is totally closed, open it up a little bit. Do something. You know, get a little light coming in. And I think by that in this relationship, because this is the Father, and it's not only about here. It's about other nations, and it's about other people, and it's about other congregations. Because he's building something. And it's going to be based on love. It's not going to be based on what I think somebody and judging somebody else about this, that, and the other. Now, I'm not saying, and I have to always put this caveat out here, I'm not saying if somebody is practicing sin and all of that, I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about somebody who's maybe been hurt, and it's hard for them to let everything and pour out their whole heart and life out there because they don't want to be kicked again. Look at our Jewish brothers. Every time they lay their heart out, what happens? An inquisition comes in and they kill them. They run them out of their own country, their own land. And a lot of it's their own fault. I understand that. But loving one another, because when it all is said and done, prophecy is going to cease. The gifts are going to cease. And all of these things are going to cease. But love never ends. And we need to be able to love one another and love him. Amen. Thank you.